Welcome to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Now get ready for another episode of Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain.
Welcome to our podcast. Please be aware the thoughts and opinions expressed by the host are their thoughts and opinions only and do not reflect those of iHeartMedia, iHeartRadio, Coast to Coast AM, employees of Premier Networks, or their sponsors and associates. We would like to encourage you to do your own research and discover the subject matter for yourself. Hi, I'm Sandra Champlain. For almost 25 years, I've been on a journey to prove the existence of life after death. On each episode, we'll discuss the reasons we now know that our loved ones have survived physical death. And so will we. Welcome to Shades of the Afterlife. Our subject today is the Ouija board, fact or fiction. I got a request to do a show about this topic from perhaps our biggest fan. His name is Tom, so I am always open to suggestions. Today, I want to introduce you to a woman who has been working with the Ouija board since 1973. And actually, she calls herself a Ouijaologist. Her name is Karen Dahlman, and she's a psychotherapist, actually. She is an amazing woman and is the author of three books, The Spirit of Alchemy, The Spirit of Ouija, and The Spirit of Creativity. So let's get on to this very controversial subject. Karen Dahlman, warm welcome to Shades of the Afterlife.
Hi, Sandra. Very glad to be here. Thank you for having me today.
You're welcome. I'm so excited that I got a little tongue-tied in your introduction, but I mean, well.
It's a lot.
I'm really excited because, first of all, I think the subject matter that we are going to get into with the Ouija board is controversial to some, and so I know controversy sells, so we'll see where it all goes. Just to start out, Karen, first of all, thank you for saying yes to being on the show.
Oh, absolutely. You're very welcome.
I've heard some really wonderful things about you and how warm and wonderful and giving you are. So how does your story begin that you get involved in this world? And just keeping in mind that, of course, people love to hear why you believe that life after death is real. So if you can give us some of your background.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm one of those children that at a very young age, remember, I guess you can say kind of that I was from somewhere else. In a sense, I had always connections to other beings. I could see them. They'd come in my room at night. Usually came when I was more calm. But I also had what we might call an imaginary playmate that was not imaginary at all, by no stretch of my imagination. Very real, very physical. And it would communicate with him and he would communicate with me first telepathically. And then I started using my mouth. But I remember his thoughts would come into my own. It was a very, very positive experience for me. Yet I realized nobody else in my family experienced him. Mm-hmm. And so I learned pretty much at a young age not to talk too much about this stuff because, you know, you could kind of be deemed crazy. So I just kept a lot of that to myself as I got older. And I put this imaginary playmate, I think, at that time away. I never really put him away. And I can explain how he's still in my life to this day. But I put him away, so I thought. And about the age of 8, you know, still having weird experiences, I just went and talked to people about it. I had like guardian angels visiting me. I would call them the guardians, but they are angels. They're angelic beings and they'd visit me at night. I physically would see them and they'd come and touch me sometimes and make sure I was okay. And they felt very nurturing. But around the age of 8, I had some friends who lived down the street and they invited me to come to their house and play. They were two sisters. One was the age of 8 and one was 10 and I was 8. And so we went to their house thinking we're going to play some kind of new game they had. And they said, hey, we got this new game. Well, they pulled out the Ouija board.
Okay.
And I'm like, what is this? I really didn't know much about it. I didn't even know what it was. And they said, you know, look, you can talk to the dead through this tool. I said, what? Come on. They put their hands on it, start talking, asking questions, and it's spelling out answers. And they were a little silly at first. And I said, I want to try it. He said, okay, try it. And sure enough, it started moving and we were getting some answers to some questions. And they said, now we're going to introduce you to our sister. I said, what do you mean? Your sister's right here. They says, no, I have a dead sister. I said, what? Yeah. One of the girls in the room, the twin, the older one, 10, had a sister who died right after birth. And they said, She is growing up. She is our age now. I said, what? She's dead, but she's your age? She goes, yes, we talk to her all the time. She's also 10. Now that just opened this whole world up to me in terms of, hey, I've been seeing things. What are these things? Maybe these are the spirits and this is similar. I can talk to him now through this board and we can talk to a child who's dead, but also now is growing up on the other side. It really put a lot of things together for me at a very young age. So, Sandra, I quickly ran home, told my parents, it's true. It's true. The dead exist. You can talk to them. They're sure, sure. Wink, wink. But that's what I was learning in church. I was a Catholic.
Of course,
I was raised Catholic. And I was told, you know, that you have an afterlife. And now I had proof and that you had guardian angels. And I already knew I had angels because I talked to them and I saw them. But here was more manifestation of it. And from that point on, I asked for a Ouija board for Christmas. I got one from Santa Claus that year.
God loves Santa Claus.
God loves Santa Claus and Santa Claus loves me. And it was December, get this, it was December 25th, 1973. And the day after, on December 26th, 1973, the Exorcist movie came out. So it was kind of cool. I got mine right before the Exorcist came out. But that incident led me on this lifelong journey and odyssey exploring the other realms with this incredible tool.
Right. Incredible. And was it in the Exorcist movie that the Ouija board came out as a horror piece?
Yeah, in that movie, Reagan, who was a girl, but the true story was it was a boy, but Reagan used it to talk to Captain Howdy for about a minute and a half in the movie. That's about it. And that's supposedly Captain Howdy became Pazuzu, which was the demon in the movie, blah, blah, blah. But that's how the Ouija board was introduced. Now, let me say this. When the Ouija board was made and sold all these years, it came out in 1890.
It did.
Yeah, it's that old. It came out in 1890-91 when the patent was granted. And it was made by a company called the Kennard Novelty Company. William Fold was a varnisher at the company. He took over the company in 1919. His family owned it until 1966 when Parker Brothers bought it from them. And get this, in 1966 through 1967, that board outsold their top-selling game of the day, which was Monopoly. It sold 2 million copies. So you can imagine how popular this tool was. So, of course, Hollywood ran with that. And so when this Exorcist came out in 73, well, the book came out in 71, but the movie came out in 73, of course they used the Ouija board because it was the most popular selling game. It was marketed as a game at the time.
Mm-hmm.
See, so Hollywood really knew how to use that as a marketing ploy. And of course, there was your Ouija board popping up in a negative manner.
Yeah, really interesting how these things come up and then they become, you know, something scary or something not to play with. And because when we were kids, I don't know if we had one or a friend had one. But, you know, I knew the intent behind it was to talk to dead people. And I thought, hey, cool.
Sure.
But it wasn't the... oh my God, you can't play with that. You're, you know, bringing in the devil. So it makes sense that it came in from the movie. But here's the thing. I'm all about busting through myths on this show, you know, and empowering people. I know for myself, I did some studying on EVPs, electronic voice phenomena, back in 2005, or I think it was 2005. And why I bring this up is at that time, you know, I really thought if I tried to record dead people, like, you know, the devil could come through, like, you know, right? Because remember the movie White Noise that came out?
I sure do.
Yeah. So that had to do with electronic voice phenomena. And so when I finally decided to take a course on electronic voice phenomena with the couple that was at the time running the Association for Electronic Voice Phenomena, Tom and Lisa Butler, they told the story of how EVP really got known in the world. And it was only because somebody featured it in a scary movie.
And very interesting.
Yeah. And so they were really upset because they worked with whatever film company it was. I can't remember what studios it was, but they trained them how to do this electronic voice phenomena. And in the past, I mean, their knowledge of all these, you know, thousands of EVPs they recorded were messages of love and very often humor. Right. So now this movie production company takes it, turns it into a horror. And of course, they were horrified, like, oh, no, this is a tool. People get good messages, not bad. Well, on one hand, you know, it caused a lot of fear. But on the other hand, Karen, the whole world knew about recording and people started doing it. you know, some people started doing it for the right reasons. So maybe through this conversation, we can demystify the Ouija board, and it can be, you know, used as a tool for communicating with our loved ones and take away the stigma of scary stuff.
Well, yeah, you know, and Sandra, I was raised, again, in a Catholic family, and we did church. We went to, yeah. I did the Bible school. I did catechism. I did CCD. I did all the confirmation, did all of that. We had rosaries in our rooms. We had our crosses on our walls. We were really into it. And to me, it wasn't contradictory to the religion, because my family wasn't like, oh, bad Ouija board. They're more like, sure, you can go use this. And you know, there was neutral. There was no negativity, no positivity. They just probably thought it was a game. We talk about it to this day, because my parents still know I'm talking internationally about this stuff and write books about it. You know, they fully understand there's something to this, that I'm communicating with these different dimensions and realms. But I never had the fear instilled in me. Other people did. Other children would come to my house. We do sleepovers, and their parents would say, or the mom would say, you could go to Karen's house, but you can't do the Ouija board. And I always said, why can't you do the Ouija board? Don't worry, we'll play light as a feather, stiff as a board. We'll do something else paranormal.
You know? I forgot about that. We played that too. Oh, fun.
Well, we all played that. And so why was that okay? And why was the Ouija board bad? See, my point was, to me, it all was dealing with these other dimensions. Yeah. It was allowing us to explore and tap into what happens to our consciousness, what happens to our soul and spirit when we pass over. What abilities do we hold within ourselves that we don't tap? And light as a feather, stiff as a board really allowed us to start lifting people with like two fingers, you know. It showed us that there was so much more than meets the eye or what we're told. And so I thought, you can't do Ouija, then we'll do other kinds of games that'll let us reach into these realms. And so Ouija for me became kind of a symbol of that, but also I was using it all the time with different people just to explore these realms. And I did start with speaking with the deceased, and it was beautiful for that. And to this day, I will still hold sessions where I will speak to this deceased, or people have questions, and it helps them, you know, have closure and on grief, or to have some answers. And I communicate with animals also through this board.
Karen, we have to go into our first break, but I want to tell our listeners how to find out more about you. Your website is creativevisionspublications.com. There's so much there. And I know currently a lot of people are still using Ouija boards, but they're being sold as spirit boards. So when we get back from the break, Karen, I want to ask you how a nice girl working mainstream jobs gets turned into a Ouijaologist. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Stay right there. There's more Sandra coming right up.
Are you looking for that certain someone who shares your interests in UFOs, ghosts, Bigfoot, conspiracy theories, and the paranormal? Well, look no further than ParanormalDate.com, the unique site for like-minded people. If you like the senior crowd, try ParanormalDate.com/seniors to meet like-minded people that are 60+. It all depends on what you prefer. ParanormalDate.com is great for everyone. You can also tap into members that are 60+ at ParanormalDate.com/seniors. Enjoy your search and have some fun at ParanormalDate.com.
You're listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
At ParanormalDate.com, you meet the most fantastic people.
Hi, I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Jennifer. What brings you here?
Yeah, I'm here to meet someone who understands me.
How so?
Well, I'm into UFOs, ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, conspiracy theories, the paranormal, that kind of stuff. But can't seem to find anyone who gets it.
Oh, well, nice to meet you, Tom. I gotta go.
Okay, guess that's not your cup of tea. You sure?
Very. Good luck with that.
I can't meet anyone when I'm out, and I really can't find a website for my unique interests. What is one to do?
Have you thought about ParanormalDate.com?
Paro what dot what? Who are you?
I'm a paranormal matchmaker, and it's ParanormalDate.com. It's a website for people looking for people like them. Stuff you like, remember?
Interesting. I'll give it a try.
Well, let's try this again.
Hi, I'm Tom.
Hey, I'm Deb. Your profile on ParanormalDate.com looked very interesting. So you really saw a UFO?
Well, yeah. It was so intense, but not as intense as meeting you.
You're an alien chasing flirt, but I kind of like it.
Wow, this ParanormalDate.com thing really works.
Maybe ParanormalDate.com is for you. People with an interest in things they hear on George's show find their match daily. So if you're looking for that special someone with an interest in UFOs, ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, conspiracy theories, and, of course, the paranormal, come to the dating site Inspired by George Norrie. It's always free to search, and if you decide to upgrade to our amazing new features, use promo code George for a great discount. ParanormalDate.com. You are not alone.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we are with our Ouija board expert, Karen Dahlman. Now, Karen, you have had some mainstream jobs. In fact, you're a psychoanalyst. And as that, did you tell the people around you what you were doing?
I'd never say names, but I had some close therapists, friends, and administrators who used the board with me. And I've had many professional people and just people from all walks of life over the years. But it was a quiet, more secretive thing. I kept it that way because I was writing a book in 1997, and I was a practicing psychotherapist pretty in Austin. I had a private practice, and I had a lot of contracts in the hospitals, so I really had to prove that I was this grounded licensed practitioner. And if you brought up the word Ouija, has such a stigma and a controversial stigma around it that it just wouldn't fly. I knew I'd be considered a quack, so I kept it separate from my practice. It always did. I kept it separate. It was something that I used for my own spiritual explorations on the side, although definitely things I was exploring helped me be a better person and a better therapist with my clients. So I could see how it would work with it. It helped segue into my work, but yet I kept them separate. And so I didn't talk about it openly. And I didn't publish that first book until quite a few years later. It was not until 2012. And when I published that book, I decided I can come out. Although the book doesn't, that first book of mine does not speak at all about the Ouija board, yet everything in that book I wrote with the help of my spirit guides. Wow. And the angels.
What's the name of your first book?
It's called The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion.
Okay.
And it's all about living the creative life that we, not to be an artist, but that we come into this world creative beings, and we have to uncover that and release it. And then we can start manifesting and creating the world that we desire in greater, grander ways. This is before the law of attraction even came out. This is way before all that stuff was, you know, The Secret and all that. It was what the guides were bringing to me. And it was also some of the work I was doing with my clients. And so I put that into a book. But I didn't come out until 2012 with it published, and it immediately landed me on some big shows, and people were so interested in the Ouija, although still, even in 2012, there was still a negativity about it, that I found that people started writing to me and said they were also in the closet with their board. They're afraid. Yeah, they're professionals, and they're afraid to mention they do it because it's a kid's game, or it sounds stupid, or it's that they know they're tapping on something big, or people say they're demonic or possessed.
Sure.
But people wrote to me and said, we really want to understand your odyssey with this tool. So that's why I wrote the book, The Spirits of Ouija, Four Decades of Communication, because at that point, I've been using the board for 40 years.
So, wow.
Yeah, when that book came out, it had been 40 years I've been using the board, and that came out in 2013. And then that just, people just wanted to hear, learn more. And so I thought, you know what? I'm in the public now. No matter what I'm doing with my other career, my other life, it's not a negative stigma for me anymore. It's definitely, it's always been positive. But now I'm so open and out there about it that it allows a lot of people to be open and to start talking about this wonderful tool.
Oh, yeah, of course. Spirit of Ouija, is it what it's called?
The spirits
of Ouija. I had looked it up on Amazon, and you've gotten just all 5-star reviews. I mean, it's a good book.
Yeah, people really, really, really like it. It helps them to be open about it. A lot of people are curious about this tool. They get so caught up in the dogma and the negativity around it that they were always afraid of it, but they kind of wanted to try it. So this book, people tell me, to them, it's like the manual for the Ouija that was never written. When you buy a Ouija board, there's no manual. And so they say this is like the manual that everybody needs to read. So I'm very honored by that they would say that.
Yeah, it's really nice. I met a woman at one of my workshops that I had gone to, and She's got a note card, and she's got A through Z written on it, and she's got the numbers written on it, and got a real small flat crystal, and she just, when she's relaxing, she'll just have a question in mind, and, you know, her finger will just land on whichever letter, you know, and mm-hmm. spells words, and she's written philosophy and poems, or, you know, she gives the credit Beautiful. To the spirit world. But, you know, I remember when she told me that, I thought, that's no different than a Ouija board. Why?
It
why?
Is. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's just, board. I mean, it just shows how deep beliefs can be that an actual piece of, I don't know what they're made out of anymore, but, you know, if you say it's a wooden board or something like that, that in and of itself, it can be a bad thing, you know? It's like...
Well, I always say, why would you give your power over to some inanimate object, such as a piece of wood or masonite or compressed particle board or cardboard? That's what they're made out of now, is mostly cardboard. And why would somebody give their power over? And it's not really because of that individual. It's because of all things they've heard from their beliefs, from what they've learned, what's been indoctrinated in them, what's been spoon-fed into them. And I say, really check that and look at yourself and what do you want to believe about it? Because that's all it is. It's a tool. It's a permission slip to reach into other realms. No different than a K2 meter, no different than a Frank's box, no different than a candle lit in your room, no different than you praying. There's nothing different. It's just a tool to augment you to reach into these realms. Now, you and I were having a conversation a little bit earlier. You and I have something very much in common, and it's our exploration into, you know, being a more of a medium and transmediumship and channeling. Mm-hmm. And once you take the board away, you can still do this work. And that's where I'm at today with it. Take the board away. I'm still talking to my guides. And so it's not the board, it's me, it's ourselves, it's the user of the board, the operator of the board that is able to reach in these realms. It just becomes a symbol for them or a simple way that says, okay, let's use a tool and that'll help you guide you through it. Now, yes, the woman who writes on a piece of paper, technically you can't call it a Ouija board, we just trademarked, but you would call that a spirit board, a channeling board, a talking board. And this brings up a great point. I'm glad you brought up that story. People ask me this all the time. What kind of board should I get? My answer is, get the board that makes you feel most comfortable with yourself, or make one yourself even better because you put your intentions into it. And that's what's going to work for you. And the reason why is because, again, it's not the board. It's how you feel about yourself, the energetic vibration that you raise yourself to that allows you to reach into these other realms.
Very good. My mind is going to like an image of dowsing rods, you know, the old timers that would douse for where to build a well and all that stuff. And people always thought that these rods had magic powers, but no, it's got nothing to do with the rods. The body would signal the rods to open up, you know, we are the channel. We are the instrument. It's not the board. It's not the rods. You know, it's us.
Exactly. And so some of us, like I was so young and that was the way I learned to tap into these realms. And so it just worked very well for me. So, you know, today it's like, I enjoy doing it. I enjoy using the board. I enjoy that direct communication. I enjoy how well it works for me. And here I'm on my 44th year using this tool. And it's been such a part of my life, but again, I don't need it. I can speak directly with spirit. I started there when I was very young and I'm full circle back there again, but I do enjoy having this tool. Dowsing rods, I love too. And I love tarot. I have a bunch of tarot decks and oracle cards, which again, that's just a tool. And I just want to stress, as you've been stressing too, Sandra, to the audience, is that there doesn't have to be any negativity associated with this except for the negativity you want to bring to it. In fact, I don't even believe in evil. I believe in evil people having evil behaviors, but I don't believe in evil inherently. It's what we bring to the table and what we project onto things that makes it so.
Yes, I believe that. And you know, Karen, it's so funny because we're talking about this and I hear the words coming out of my mouth that, you know, it's just a board, piece of wood, piece of cardboard. But my belief in what my brain is still trying me to convince is, well, there's no way in hell you're going to get one, Sandra. Right? Like that's what's coming in my mind right now.
I love that because we have to, that's what I tell people. I say, explore that within yourself because like people are like, I want to do it. Okay. And then I say, well, what do you really think and feel about it? Well, I was told this. And I say, then look at that next. Look at that, because you're going to, if you take this tool and start using a tool when you still have some trepidation, even subconscious trepidation, you're going to attract more negative things to you. But just as easily, if you have different intentions and beliefs, you can draw these magnificent angelic beings and source energy and ethereal beings that have, gosh, the stuff they say is just profound. I mean, they write all my books with me. Their names should really be on these books, but they said, we want no gratitude, or we want no accolade for that, because we are here just to support you and you're the one in human form. They're kind of coming through right now and saying that. So it's just, it's really, you have to look at how you feel about any tool you use. And if you bring that to the table, then you will tend to get, you know, whatever it is you think. It's kind of like the placebo effect. You believe this sugar pill is going to work for you, it will. If you don't believe it's not going to work, it probably won't. Same thing here.
Yeah. So, and also, you know, this just brings up to me challenging beliefs. Cause if I've got, you know, this maybe subconscious belief that, yeah, we're talking about this, but I'm not going to get one. But what other beliefs do I hold as true? You know, as human beings in our younger days, I mean, how many people believe that they're not smart enough? How many people believe they're not lovable? Right. How many people believe they can't play sports? This might just be a good conversation to realize that we got to challenge our beliefs, because, you know, there's not a single one of us that's not lovable. So nobody's saying you have to go out and buy a Ouija board.
Right.
You don't.
Right.
But if you can use this conversation to challenge some of those beliefs and be open to whether it's creating your own board or using something to get yourself closer in touch with the spirit realm. All good. So let's talk about tying it in with how you've used it, that you believe in life after death.
Yeah, oh, wow. You,
yeah.
Yes. There's, I just want to say, with that comment you just made, I just, gosh, it's brilliant to say that, because what I find, and this is how I help people reach into their greatness with this tool, and not just this tool, but these ideas like you brought up. It's the concept that there are many possibilities to life. And as you said, if you can explore what's going on internally within yourself, your whole life externally will be different. Wow. If you really can clean up that stuff in there, because it's true, we all were born in love and light, and they're not inherently evil, not wicked, and not sinned, full of sin. We were born pure and light, and we can get back to that place. And I find this tool has helped people do that. But I also find just having this conversation, exploring, like you said, your internal beliefs is where it needs to go. That was so well said.
Thanks.
So yeah, good segue into this. And so this is what has happened for me with this tool, with the afterlife. So we started talking with that sister, and I was just blown away, not just that we could talk to her, but blown away that she was still alive. And so what the spirit guides tell me all the time, they say, what you guys, humanity, calls death, we call life. There is no such thing as death. It's always a continuation of life. It just changes form.
Karen, I apologize to cut you short, but we need to take a quick break and then we'll let you continue. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Shades of the Afterlife coming right up.
Hey, folks, we need your music. Hey, it's producer Tom at Coast to Coast AM, and every first Sunday of the month, we play music from emerging artists just like you. If you're a musician or a singer and have recorded music you'd like to submit, it's very easy. Just go to coasttocoastam.com, click the Emerging Artist banner in the carousel, follow the instructions, and we just might play your music on the air. Go now to coasttocoastam.com to send us your recording. That's coasttocoastam.com.
The four organization.
The Art Bell Vault has classic audio waiting for you now. Go to coasttocoastam.com for details.
You're listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Heard on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your favorite shows. Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we are here with Ouija board expert Karen Dahlman. Now, Karen, just before the break, you were saying the spirits say what you call death, we call life. Can you say more about that?
There is no such thing as death. It's always a continuation of life. It just changes form. So they get into the physics of it, but they say this is what we experience. Now, when I talk to somebody who's passed over, and I do that quite often, and I have many, many times over the years, they will say, oh, my God, it's such a joy to be here. I've had nobody say this sucks or it's over.
Right.
It's always been a beautiful continuity of love. Now, what really made me look at this tool and look at the afterlife in an even grander way, and I'd like to share this story with your listeners because it kind of parroted what had happened to me at a young age, at the age of 8, with the sister who was deceased. So the story goes like this. Now, this was about 13 years later. So here we are. It was 1986. I had taken the board with me to college towards the end of my college years, I think for the last year and a half. And I had a sorority, and there was a couple girls in this group that were really good at using the board with me, and everybody was pretty cool about it. Nobody cared, you know. And there's a few people in the sorority house that were a little freaked on it. And I said, well, I'll do it in my own room or whatever. And but they said, you know, we're curious. There's all these stories we're hearing, and this is really fascinating. We'd like to see you use it, mm-hmm. but we don't really believe it's real. And I said, okay. To this day, I don't approve anything. But then I felt like I wanted to prove to them something was going on here. I was kind of on a different mission with the tool. So I invited, it was about 8 women, and then myself, and then the other person who operated the board with me, and then a person who was writing, who was a scribe. Well, what I did was this, and I kind of popped this on my partner who's using the board. I said, we're going to blindfold ourselves. She's like, oh, okay, we'll do that. We had such a strong connection with this deceased woman we were talking to that we knew that she would come through. And I also had a spirit guide who was coming through, and I knew that there would be no problem with this tool working. So we had that much faith in our abilities to work this tool, I should say. We had a faith in our own abilities. Mm-hmm. So we sat down, blindfolded ourselves. We used her board, which was an older board than mine. Mine's in circa 73. Hers was circa 19, late 50s, 60s. So it was a board that was a lot larger. I wasn't used to using it. And we put it on our laps. We sat down cross-legged from each other on our laps. We were blindfolded, could not see, put our hands in the planchette, and we just opened it up asking for the guide to come through. And then the other gal was sitting there ready to write, take dictation. Mm-hmm. So here we are. It starts the planchette, which is the piece that goes on the board, which is an indicator which points to the letters.
Right.
It starts moving rapid fire, Sandra, around this board really quickly. I'm used to that, but at that time, I wasn't used to that kind of rapidity. This was so rapid. Move, 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 move. I hear a little sniffle room. I'm like, is everything okay? They're like, no, go on. Move, move, move. And this girl's writing. And I'm just trying to keep my fingers on for dear life.
Right.
Basically, it stops, comes to a complete stop, it halts. So we pull our blindfolds off, and I asked the gal, right, and I said, please read what it says. Now, I always change the names of people, so
yeah,
this
of
is
course.
Basically, yeah, yeah. So this is basically what it said, and so it's not verbatim. I don't have the book I'm reading in front of you, but it's in my book, The Spirits of Ouija, verbatim. I used to keep, and I still do, copious notes of every session. So what it said was this. Dear Layla, this is your sister. I want you to know that I am fine, and so is my boyfriend. We love you. We're still with you. We died on impact. Please do not carry the burden of our loss anymore. Know that the only pain we feel is the pain that you carry because you feel like you've lost us. We are here. We will always be with you. We love you. Tell mom and dad, I give my love, and we'll be with you again. Now, when that happened, there was not a dry eye in the room. We just listened to the message. It was quiet. You could hear a pin drop. And then the gal who this message was for started crying. I went, what? You got a dead sister? I didn't even know she had a dead sister. Oh. She apparently had a sister that died 4 or 5 years earlier. She never talked about it. Nobody in that room knew but her. And I'm like, wait a second. Okay, something's going on here. Plus, we were blindfolded, okay? So we sat there. She's crying. And the girls are looking at us going, oh, my God. And now my partner and I knew, we're like, we've been doing this stuff for a while. This is really working. And I just said, you guys, no more fun and games. I don't need to prove anything to anybody else. I said, this changes the whole thing with this tool. This is for grief. This is for closure. This is to know that life continues on. This is to know that love is there forever, never to end, never to cease. It's always going to be in existence. And this, that taught me a big lesson. At that moment, in that time, that second, it changed my whole direction I was going with this tool, although I was doing, you always using it positively, but it gave me a new focus that this was very therapeutic. This was very much would allow us to help people, and that life does really continue on with love, nothing but love. And this gal and her boyfriend that were killed in this car wreck was not their fault. They were killed by somebody else. They had no animosity, no pain, and no fear, no grief, no disappointment, no anger. And that was such a beautiful thing to learn.
That's incredible. Your hands must have been flying over that board with all those words, all those letters. And the person keeping track of each letter and writing it all down. I mean, that must have happened fast.
It did. And thank goodness the gal was dictating. She had done dictation before, so she was good at it. Now, when I typically use the board now, I have only one finger on the planchette. My partner will have like two or three on each hand. And then I write with my right hand. I have my left hand, and it moves around really quickly. And I call up the letters, and I just write them down. And I write them that's how I can separate myself from it. So it becomes more, I dissociate in a sense from what's coming, so I can really let it come through naturally without my influence. And that's a technique I've taught myself over the years, and it seems to work really well for me.
Can you do it with just yourself, or do you need a partner to do it?
I can do it by myself, and I'll explain that. For 39 years, I only used it with a partner, and I'll tell you why, Sandra. On the back of the box and on some of the older boards, on the back of the board, it said, use with a partner, preferably male, female, and put this board planchette between the two of you, or the board with the planchette, and rest your fingers lightly on it. So I followed the only little rules that were on the box and board and thought you had to have a partner. Okay. And then I used to list one of my brothers when I was younger because I thought you had to have a boy with you or a man. So what I've learned after 39 years of always using a partner, that I started using it by myself. And I prefer a partner. I like the camaraderie of using it with somebody and the conversations that it evokes. And also, I think when people first start out, it's easier to feel the pull, the planchette, when the energies move it, of the energies you're contacting. It's easier to find that and know what it feels like than when you try it right out of the box with yourself. So it's kind of hard to do it on your own. Plus, I know people who get addicted to this tool because you can have immediate results with it. And I try to keep people away from doing that. I'd say it's better to work with somebody. Although I'm not opposed to it at all. If that's all they can do, then definitely they can use it by themselves.
And then how did you transition to now not needing it and just hearing the words coming through?
Well, to me, the board, because I've been doing it such a long time, and the spirit guides and I talked about it, it was almost like it become a crutch for me, where I had always had desires to move it off the board, because I've always been very intuitive, empathic. And they said, you know, you can work with us directly without this. And they also said, your work in the world that you're doing, it slows it down, because for them, it's a direct transmission. It comes really quickly, even when the deceased speak to you, it comes fast. And especially these ethereal beings, it comes real quickly. And when I do the board, it slows the process way the heck down. And so it might take, you know, you can imagine, spying out all the letters, it can take 15 minutes to get something that would have only taken 1 minute if I was verbally saying it. So in order to bring their messages to the world in a more complete way, part of my goal was to get off the board. So I can even get the more profound messages where I don't lose any words, and they don't have to be simplistic to spell it all out, but it can come through more quickly. And so it's something I've been practicing, you know, for the last couple of years to do that.
I just got this image of my mind of a cartoon, and it's two souls that are like communicating telepathically, and they're both looking down with this face, you know, looking at the person on Earth with the Ouija board, and they're going T-H-E,
right.
You know, like how slow.
They're like, my God, could you please speed this up?
And the two of them are blah, 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 you know, because we get the old psychic communication in the spirit world. I just thought it was pretty funny.
That's really cute, and truly that's how it works. And sometimes I'll get their words coming through on the board, and the word will be missing. And I'll say, did you guys forget a word? They go, we didn't forget it. You did, because we had to slow it down for you, and you missed that word. And it's true. It's like, I might have thought it in my head real quick, and they go, oh, she got it. But if I don't say it out loud, then it's like, I didn't get it. And they know that. So they work around that with me. That's the reason why I speak the letters out loud when I do it. Everybody has their own way of using this tool. I just developed that over the years, and it works really well for me.
Yeah, why not? Now, are you still working with people, helping them bring through their loved ones and things like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Still do that. And also a big thing that we've been doing is, like I mentioned, was animal communications. Even this might sound a little strange, but I don't think it will to your audience. Because people can communicate with animals, you know, that are alive. I also communicate with animals that are alive through the board. So I can talk.
Talk about that a little, because,
yeah,
you know, I've been asked that I don't talk about animal communication enough. And the thing is, you know, we love our animals. We fall in love with our animals. I mean, we're closer to our animals than with most human beings because of that unconditional love. So we want to know that they go on.
They have a lot to say. And in each animal, as we know, just from you don't have to even talk to your animals, although they're always, as they tell me, they're always communicating with us. And they think it's silly when I try to talk to them on the board because they said, wait, you talk to us all the time. So there's a subconscious telepathic level where we're not even always aware of it, that we're in communication. And people do that with their plants. They know, you know, they feel that this plant needs this or needs that soil or needs this water or needs this, you know, new vase or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And your animals are the same. And it's more than just reading their body language. They communicate this on such a different, it's a visceral, it's images. It's very different. So for them to sit there and spell, they usually get helpers. So when I work with animals through the board, whether they're deceased or alive, I have special, I would say, guides that come through who actually work with the animal kingdom. And these beings will come through and help translate into words. But how they do that is they read the vibration of the animal, whatever the animal's exuding or expressing, and they'll pick up its images, they'll pick up its feelings, and they translate that into words that's close enough. And that's what psychics do, or mediums too. We're picking up on those vibrations of the images we're receiving. So it's very much done in the imaginal realm, those kind of centers, as well as through the feeling centers, through our senses. And that's how they communicate. And so when they come to the board, I have these helpers that are translating that into words, and then I'm getting real sentences. To me, when they communicate, they're very much like a little 5 or 6 year old who will just speak their mind, and there's no filters. And it's just hysterical, and it's beautiful, and it's just so wonderful because it's pure.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back and hear some more of your stories. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Shades of the Afterlife coming right up.
Every 8 minutes, the American Red Cross brings help and hope to people in need. Thanks to the support of everyday heroes like you, the Red Cross is able to respond to disasters big and small, support military families, help ensure that blood is available when needed, and teach life-saving skills like CPR and first aid. Be a hero. Donate today. Visit redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS.
Hey folks, it's easier than ever to become a Coast to Coast AM insider and have access to past shows, the Art Bell Vault with classic audio and interviews, and so much more. And you can listen to the show live or on demand with your computer or cell phone, and the audio streams are high quality and crystal clear. It's easy to become an insider. Just head on over to coasttocoastam.com, the website, and you'll find all the info right there. That's coasttocoastam.com, coasttocoastam.com.
The internet is an extraordinary resource that links our children to a world of information, experiences, and ideas. It also can expose them to risk. Teach your children the basic safety rules of the virtual world. Our children are everything. Do everything for them.
Welcome Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we are here with Karen Dahlman. Karen being the author of The Spirit of Alchemy, The Spirit of Ouija, and The Spirit of Creativity. Karen, before the break, you were talking about animal communications through the Ouija board. Can you give us any examples?
Yes. I've done quite a few shows where we're doing this for people with the board. I say me, my partner and I are doing this on the board, and people ask questions of their animals, and mostly people want to talk to their deceased animals. But I will tell you this, in general terms with the deceased animals, they do continue on. They have continuity of life. They don't die. When they transition, they understand transitioning even before they transition. They totally get it. They get that they always will exist. And they always come through with the beautiful message, just like our loved ones do, of how much, thank you for taking care of me. You love me. Of course, I've always loved you. I will. I'll be here with you again. Those kinds of messages. Now, I've had some specific things where I've spoken to people's pets that are alive or even wild animals. For example, I had this rattlesnake. You can talk to all levels of animals, by the way, all different kinds. And so this rattlesnake came into my yard and posted it on Facebook, and I took pictures of it, and I wasn't afraid of it because I know how far they can jump, and they have to be coiled up to jump. I know they can only go like a third of their body, and I know all that stuff, and I wasn't afraid until it coiled up. And once it coiled up, I said, okay, time to go back in. But I got all these wonderful photos of it, and people were like, why didn't you kill it? You know, why don't you? And I was like, why? I had such a feeling from the snake that it just was passing through, and it just wanted to, what it did, it went over to my little fountain I have, which is like a little waterfall, and just stuck its head in there and drank water. And then it sat there for a while and then went on its way. It was thirsty. And so I thought, you know, let me communicate with this animal. So I did. And it came through and said, it said it in a language I can understand, obviously. So it was interpreted by like a oversoul energy of this snake, of the rattlesnake. Uh-huh. And it came through and it said, just so you know, I just came through to drink, and I'm not afraid, and I hope you aren't either. However, trust that I am a wild animal and I will strike if I have to. But I came through, and I've come through before just to have a drink. And then I'm on my way. And I was like, that's exactly what it did. And I knew it was a he. It said it was a he. I knew how old it was. It told me how old it was. It's things like that. It's you can have these kind of specific conversations with these animals.
Have you ever reconnected someone with their deceased pet?
Oh, many, many times, many different shows. I'll have them call in and they want to talk to them, and they have conversations, or they say, or the animal come through and say something specific that only they would know, or something about what they enjoyed that happened. And I had people this is what I find is one of the hardest thing for people. And I fully get it. I know you will too, Sandra. There's times when people have to put their animals down.
Yes. I have been there. It's awful.
Yes, exactly. It's awful, but it's necessary. It's necessary because you don't want that animal to
suffer,
right, and do heroics that don't need to be done. And I wish we could do this with people more often too. I don't know. I have a whole different thing on a belief on life and death, because I don't believe that death ever exists. So what I find is people have the hardest time with that. And the biggest question will be that I have this dog, or I had this cat, and I had to put him down. And is she upset at me? And people hold that. Are these animals mad at me?
Of course. Oh, yeah.
Yes. I don't blame it, people at all. I fully get it. And their answer is, you love me so much. Thank you for taking care of me. It was time for me to go, and I knew that. And you responded because I was letting you know, and you took me to this place and allowed me to go peacefully. Thank you. That's what the answer is every single time. So many different words, but that's what the answer is. They understand the love behind it, that you really, really cared for them, and you only did that out of love. And just because we can't have a verbal language, you know, with the alphabet that we have, and it doesn't matter. They feel. Animals are so feeling centered and so telepathic, and that's their communication. So they feel us so strongly, and they feel your love, and they feel your sadness about it, and they only want you to go to, they only want you to know that everything's going to be okay, and that, and not to grieve over them, that they're here. They're right there with you.
Yes. As are deceased loved ones right here.
No yeah. Different. And animals. Yeah. It always bothered me when I used to hear different traditions say, oh, the animals don't have souls, or they don't continue on. Well, that's just hogwash, at least from my experiences and everything I've done for people over the years with talking to the animals and the deceased. They do continue on. Everything that's alive, sentient beings, have souls. They do continue on.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's beautiful.
Now, do you have a YouTube channel where we can see you doing some of these things?
Absolutely. I'm glad you asked. I do. I have a channel. It's under my name, Karen A. Dahlman, D-A-H-L-M-A-N. And I started a new show in the last couple of months. I have one show that's called The Women of Ouija, where we talk about all things Ouija for the last 2 years. There's like 67 episodes. Yeah, that's a fun one. Really fun. We do a lot of exploration into spirituality along with the Ouija board. I can't separate the two. But I have a new show I just started called Creative Visions TV Beyond the Board. And I do shows where my partner and I will show you how to use a board. We use it. And we did a session not too long ago where everybody on my channel, subscribers, got to writing with their questions. We drew them out of a hat and answered their questions and did a show where we're using the board, answering their questions. And you can watch and see us in operation and how we work. And then I do shows where I interview people that I've met. A lot of these people I've met because of the Ouija board, and a lot of them do have affiliations either collecting the board or using it. And they've been on my channel talking about things such as using crystals for healing, becoming a medium, developing your skills, mediumistic skills, spirit communication, and also developing your creativity. So I've got a great lineup there of guests. It's
That's
a lot of fun.
Really wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. And that channel, like yours, Sandra, which I really appreciate your channel, it's Thanks. All about empowering yourself.
Yeah. Things can be entertaining, absolutely. But ultimately, we want to have a better life and to use
absolutely.
Whatever tools we have to know that we're not alone, that there's beings guiding us, helping us, and our loved ones are still around and our life is for a purpose. I mean, if we can be courageous and go after our dreams and share and help other people. I mean, that's where the juicy stuff is. Karen, looking at the time, is there anything that you want to share that you haven't touched on already, or, to just give us some philosophy or whatever?
You're right. There's always so much to share in so many different directions. I would say the biggest thing here is we're talking about the Ouija board in a way is just as a tool. And I want to just emphasize that again. It's not the board that has any magical special powers. It's inanimate. What it is ourselves. Like we're talking about earlier, the board has really taught me about my own internal empowerment, but not just the board. There's many different techniques I use and tools and tips and ideas and suggestions and things I've studied over the years that have helped me develop that. And I would say if there's anything I can say in the show that's, and the guides are saying, yes, we want you to share this. I think the biggest, most important message here is that we are a type of being that is so full of promise, so full of possibilities for expression of ourselves in the world at large, but also within ourselves. So we could just begin to turn back within ourselves and begin to explore this world within. And that's when we will see everything externally shift change. No matter what's going on around us in the world, if we see that these possibilities exist within ourselves, these beautiful abilities are within us, the proclivities, skills, aptitudes are all within us, and we shift and find them, uncover them, discover them, explore them, we will find and express them, we will find that our worlds will change. And anything that you can do to augment yourself to do that, whether it's meditation, whether it's taking a walk in nature, grounding yourself, surrounding yourself with crystals, tools such as a tarot deck, whatever it is, it might just be yourself as the walking tool we were talking about earlier. It's allowing yourself to tap into this, tap into that wisdom within, because truly that is source within yourself. Truly that's where it's found.
Oh, Karen, thanks so much. I wholeheartedly agree. And in this day that we have so much technology and our minds are busy between everything that's going on and then our cell phones and our computers and our television and everything, there's not a lot of opportunity for quiet mind. And it really is quieting the mind and going within that, this whole, I'm just getting a visual of a flower. You need to water your plants and flowers for them to grow and bloom. And the nurturing for us to bloom really is quieting our mind and being still. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I love that flower image because it does. We do need to nurture this, and it is delicate like a flower. And then once you discover that and allow that garden to grow, it becomes so robust. It becomes so robust that you feel super empowered in your core, in your center, that then you feel like you can do, be, express anything you want to in the world. And it just gets stronger and stronger the more you go within. It's kind of really ironic in a way that that's where you really find the truth and wisdom is all within. And the spirit guides are saying, yes, that is your source. Source is not here to serve you. Source is here to work through you.
Wonderful. Karen, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you? Is it your website?
That's right. Yes, website's a great place. I'm all over social media too, under Karen A. Dahlman. I have a newsletter on my website. You might want to join. You won't get all this crap coming at you. You'll get something like maybe once every 4 to 6 weeks articles. And then also, come check out my YouTube channel. I'm really excited about what we're doing now and how we're bringing the information from the guides more to the forefront for everybody to be a part of, participate, and also really trying to help people learn to do all this natural work themselves. There's no taking the mysteriousness out of spirit communication or even out of understanding how to work with the deceased or your spirit guides. It's very, very natural and really trying to help people do that. So yeah, come join me. And I really love, people write to me too. It's really fabulous. I appreciate all the support. So yes, I'd love to see everybody in social media and over at my sites.
Well, Karen, it has been a delight to talk to you.
Oh, it's been wonderful on my side. Great talking to you too. And it's just a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, Karen, thank you so much. And it's easy to find Karen on YouTube. If you type in Karen Dahlman Ouija, you're going to find her. So it's Dahlman. Well, our home base is WeDon'tDie.com. And at this moment in history, we have been doing stuff online as far as our free Sunday gathering, complete with medium demonstration as part of it, courses, events, all kinds of great afterlife things, and so many episodes of great conversations about the afterlife. So again, WeDon'tDie.com. You can check out our calendar, see what's coming up. Join us live. There's something different about being actively participating with something weekly, regularly. It helps us all remember the big picture, that we're not alone, that our life is for a purpose. We are all unique. We are all individual. So my friends, be your true self. That's when you're most attractive, and we love you. My name is Sandra Champlain, and a warm thank you. You've been listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
And if you like this episode of Shades of the Afterlife, wait until you hear the next one. Thank you for listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.